Part 4. Selflessness? Where does the self end and the other, the community, begin? It seems a simple, even self-evident question. But I have come to believe that it is perhaps the most complicated investigation of all, and the most pressing one, if I am to find any true meaning in my life. Even more, on a wider level, this is the question that will determine the heart of a society, and possibly even its very lifespan, one way or the other. If I were walking down the road and saw a person drowning in a pond, and I had a rope that would reach, of course I would throw it to the troubled fellow and pull him to safety. But that is not a selfless act. I might be called a hero for saving the person, but that is not a heroic act. No. That is merely the expected behavior of one worthy to live in a civilized society, and any who would not stop to help the drowning person in such a situation deserve to be shunned at the very least. If I were walking down a road and saw a person drowning in a pond, but I had no rope, I would dive in and swim out to try to pull the person to safety. This is more selfless and involves a small measure of danger. Would I be a hero then? Some would call me that, but the word would ring hollow in my ears, for I would have done only what I would have expected from my neighbor were I that drowning man. This is what makes the community greater than the individual. Suppose the drowning man was in a lake known to be inhabited by a killer gar. Suppose he was even then being attacked by such a creature. Suppose the lake was full of them, swarming, hungry. At what point would my act of attempting to rescue him become heroic? At what point would my actions rightly earn the title of hero? At what point would I not want my neighbors to jump into that gar-filled death trap to try to save me? And there is a point, surely. There is a place where responsibility to self outweighs, must outweigh, responsibility to the community. But where? Likely few have considered the above dilemma specifically, but the question posed is one that every person faces in his or her life all the time. Where does one's responsibility to oneself end, and a wider responsibility to the community begin? If I am a successful hunter and fill my winter stores, is it right and just for me to let my neighbor go hungry? If feeding my neighbor would mean rationing for me, a winter of privation but not death, is it still my duty to save the unsuccessful hunter? I am surprised by how many people I have met who would say that it is not, that their growling belly is not worth a neighbor's life, and who justify their claim by blaming their neighbor for being less successful in the hunt. Again, the example is extreme, but moving now toward the commonplace, toward the daily choices we all face in our lives, the choices are no less crucial. What is your responsibility beyond the self? To your partner, your children, your brothers, your parents, your cousins, your neighbors, a stranger? These are the questions that will define you as a person, I think, more than anything else you might do. The laws of a kingdom try to define these lines of responsibility in the daily lives of citizens. In the village of Lonelywood in 10 towns, for example, a successful hunter is bound to share all bounty beyond one full meal a day, with any excess to be divided equally among all Lonelywood residents. But in Dugan's Hole, another of the 10 towns of Icewind Dale, those who cannot hunt their winter food will very possibly starve. And successful hunters can defend their bounty to the death, even if that bounty is so great that much will rot when the spring melt falls across the tundra. No one in Dugan's Hole tries to change these laws, or the common behavior that gives them credence. Certainly, though, there are folks in Bryn Shander, the hub of 10 towns, who would like to see such changes, since the starving people of the Redwaters towns inevitably try to make it to Bryn Shander's gates. I prefer Lonelywood, as would my companions, for I have come to see philanthropy as ultimately self-satisfying, if not selfish. There is in Bryn Shander an old woman who takes in the stray cats and dogs of the place, She works tirelessly, feeding, grooming, hugging and training the animals, and tries ceaselessly to find for them homes among the citizens of the town. So dedicated is she that she eats little and sleeps less. I once asked her about it, about why she would give up that extra hour of sleep to hunt down a reported stray. "Every hour I'm not at me work. A precious little one might die," she told me. The people of Bryn Shander think her quite mad, and to be honest, I questioned her grasp on reality and priority myself. Until I spoke with her. And then I found in her one of the most sane and satisfied humans I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. The warmth of her heart touched me and made me know the sincerity in her smile. This was to her a calling, a way that she, a feeble old woman of little means, could make the world a better place. I have met few nobles whose smiles can rival hers in sincerity. For I see myself somewhat akin to this old woman, and more so now after my training in the monastery. The greatest lesson in that place of profound teaching was the constant reminder of how little I truly need, and the mindset to avoid the traps of acquisition. The rich man is often owned by that which he thinks he owns. The rich woman might elicit jealousy, and while satisfying to her, her provocation will harden the visages of those around her long before she has died. Some people measure wealth in gold. Others measure it in tears of those who mourn them when they have passed on. I recognize and admit with contempt that my own preferences are not universal, not nearly among the people I have met. Dugan's Hole is in no need of new residents, and any houses emptied by the harsh terms of that community will soon enough be full again, mostly with people grumbling about tithing or taxation, and ready to go to war with any who would demand one copper piece from them. "If you cannot catch your food, you've no right to live," is a common credo, spoken sternly about that town, and indeed, recited about all the reaches of the lake called Redwaters. This is the ethical spectrum of reasoning beings, moving that slide between self and community. My friend Brunner is one of the richest kings in the region. The linked dwarven communities from Icewind Dale to the Silver Marches to Gauntlegrim in the Crags have come out of their wars brimming with wealth and power. And Brunner himself already possesses a treasury that would make most Waterdavian lords envious. Is Brunner bound, then, to open his gates wide to all who would come begging? How far ranges the responsibility of one who has gained so much? Farther from that of the farmer or the cobbler. If a farmer has saved a dozen silver coins and gives one to a poor man he meets at the market, should Brunner, who has 1,000 times that wealth, dole out a silver to 1,000 needy others? Or should he dole out even more than that, because his coins become less important to his own security and health once he has surpassed a certain point of wealth? Like dragons, the great lords of the north possess hoards of treasure beyond anything they might hope to spend in their lifetimes, or that their children could spend, or even the familial generation beyond that. Taking a silver piece from a man who has 10 silvers hurts him and his family less than taking a copper piece from a family that has only 10 coppers. And taking a gold piece from a woman who has 10 gold means less to her family's well-being than the tithe imposed upon the man with the 10 silvers. And the rule holds true, so on up the line of wealth. The more you have, the less you need. And once all the basic needs are met, the luxuries become redundant and indeed flatten the joy of purchase. Menzo Berenson is not unlike Dugan's Hole. There is never enough gold and gems and jewels to satisfy the insatiable greed of the matrons. In Menzo Berenson, wealth is power and power is all. And wealth is station, which implies more than power. For station breeds envy. And to the drow of my homeland, the envy of others is among life's greatest joys. This philosophy of life seems foolhardy to me. A beggar at the gates of House Bayenry will be killed or enslaved. A beggar at the gates of Gauntlegrim will find a hot meal and a bed. This is why King Brunner is my friend. Drizzt Do'Urden.